Welcome, welcome, welcome to Terrorvision Horror Podcast. We've been off for 2 weeks. Dan, how are you doing?
Okay.
Okay.
I think we've only been off for 1 week.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I'm a week.
We only missed one episode.
We did. We missed a episode. I apologize.
So that happened, and we also had an episode before this.
That's right. My brain, it's fried.
Brain.
What you been doing?
On the weekend, I like hang out with some mates.
Mm. Mates.
And we went and played disc golf.
Uh-huh.
You know what that is?
That is like...
No.
Frisbee golf?
Yeah. So basically, it's a thing where you can go, you have your own disc and you go, and it's like golf.
Yeah.
So you got a spot and you have to throw it and there's like a basket you have to get your disc into. And it's really easy. It's really fun. It gets more fun once you learn how to throw the discs better.
Yeah.
I think most of the time we're on pars, as in like, you know, we get the par or under sometimes.
Yeah.
But they've got special discs and like there's like a one that goes straight and then there's a mid one, there's a putter one, which is like a heavy one that doesn't, so if you're short. And my mates have just been getting into it heaps and then another friend's group has gotten into it heaps and then just because I live in Blair, they've just opened up where the old Blair golf course used to be. They've converted it into a disc golf.
Oh, amazing.
And because you have like an actual like sign that has like, you know, it shows a top-down picture and shows where the thing is and like the different ways you can do it and like...
Yeah.
And yeah, 18 holes. And it's just an easy, cool way to get out and walk around while having some fun and throwing some discs around.
Yeah, I mean, when was the last time you threw a frisbee that wasn't golf-related?
Well, I've been doing it a fair lot. Oh, it wasn't golf-related.
Yeah.
Actually, my mates who came over, they've always kind of been into frisbee. We have like... They have this game, can't remember what they called it, but it was at the top of this car park we'd go in the city at nighttime.
Yep.
And it was always lit up. And it was actually the guy who does Vicious Video.
Yes.
So it used to be when Vicious Video was in a different spot. And we'd have like the top of the car park and have three people at each end. And you'd throw the disc. And if you got it past these people... And got it past a certain line behind them, you scored a point.
Yeah.
And it was so fun.
Yeah.
Like, it got so competitive.
Oh, I could imagine.
All these, like, styles and, like, shots. And because, like, if you just fling it, it doesn't work. And because in the car park as well, you're up and, like, you know, they're sealed off, so the disc can't fall out the world. You know what I mean? It was just, we were doing that. And then the disc golf kind of blended into that. And it was like, now it's just, I'd take it. Some of them, they're into it. They take it seriously. Not super seriously. We just want to have fun.
Yes.
Like, we've always had beers when we go out there.
Of course.
And, you know, and stuff
like
that.
But there's always going to be that element of competitiveness because it's what...
Oh, it's rad because one of the guys in our group is like, he's hit quite loud with his sports stuff. But so, you know, when like someone's like, yeah, and he's like, all like, fuck you. Yeah, I beat you. So he's always the one that like, you always pay out heaps when he doesn't do well.
Yeah.
And and he's like all about power, and then he would throw it like and it's donk over, like you know, go completely the wrong direction, and it's just great fun.
Okay,
but yeah, been in a disc golf. There's one in the city.
Yeah,
like in Rymal Park. Like, there's a course. There's one. They're everywhere now. Like they've just been popping up.
I had no idea that it was a thing.
And it's so easy just to get a disc and go down and throw it, and just have someone just show you how to throw it. And you're like, oh,
yeah,
yeah, cool.
So you don't just like as you.
You can do that for your putting.
Okay.
But I learned, like, you just do it kind of. Yeah. Oh, it's just like, and at first I was hurting my arm until I realized, like, it's not about, like, your fucking arm throwing it. It's all like this. And
Yeah.
Like, okay. When I say this, it's like clicks the wrist.
Yeah.
And shit like that. But
like the flipper. The flipper.
Yeah, what?
I don't know.
Yeah, nah.
Fucking Warney, right?
Oh, yeah. Like bowling. Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you have, like, different arms. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What have you been up to?
Because
you were sick.
I got real sick again. It was like I got better and then I got sick again.
You were sick of being well?
I was sick of being well. So, but I discovered that I have like an annual, every year around October, I tend to burn out. And then I end up taking a week off and then I get sick and it's a whole process. So I've just gone through my process of my yearly burnout and sickness.
You cut down on work, which is great.
I know. I've just dropped down to a 4-day week. It's so good. I mean, I still manage to do the same amount of hours in 4 days, but having a 3-day weekend is just, it's so pretty. I love it so much.
Next is getting Monday off, 4-day weekend.
Oh, 4-day weekend. It could be done. We'll see. We'll see.
It's always better to have more days off than your work.
Well, that is true.
Which I don't.
No.
Depends.
You're a very busy guy, though. You're always doing something. I need at least one day that's mine where I can just ass on couch and I don't have to move or feel bad. So that's my Sunday. Everyone knows. Don't talk to me on a Sunday. I don't want to see you on a Sunday. Except I do randomly go to the movies, but that's fine. I like that. Anyway, welcome to episode 151 of Terrorvision Horror Podcast.
We should have made more of a song and dance about episode 150.
I know. We didn't.
150.
150. That's amazing, though. I feel proud of us.
Why not?
Yeah. We're loving it. We're having a good time. This is our more relaxed fit episode, and I am one of your hosts, Jennifer Strand, and joining me is my favorite limb collector, Dan McGuinness.
Hello. You can probably hear me chewing because I'm eating like Chupa Chump. What are they called? Chupa Chump, incredible chews.
They're tasty. Well, today, this was actually going to be the episode just after Sinister, but I got sick and we didn't record it. So today we're going to be talking about Blumhouse. Now, Blumhouse is, of course, one of the biggest and most well-known distribution companies, production companies for horror films.
Blum or Blum?
Blum? I don't know.
We should ask William Dafoe how to say it.
Dafoe? Foey? So, funny enough, people might not realize that Blumhouse was actually founded in the early 2000s. Jason Blum had this idea of he'd worked in business, he'd worked in management. He discovered that he wants to make low-budget films but with studio production. So this is where he got the idea from. And, of course, the two biggest films he released in 2007. So Blumhouse did a lot of little things. And it wasn't until about 2007 with Paranormal Activity that it really, like, kicked off for him. So in that span of time, we got... 2007, we got Paranormal Activity, and then 2008, I believe, we started to move into Insidious, and then of course we get all these different franchises that they have started.
Do you have the numbers on what those films made at the start? It's crazy how much they spent and what they did.
It's micro budget, huge returns.
Yeah, so it's like it's. Probably just how filmmaking should be, especially in horror. It makes more sense. I'm just going to find it.
Well, yeah, the idea for him, the idea was that they were going to come in and they were going to have a minimal budget, which meant that the director had more opportunity to work with story and space it all out rather than relying so heavily. Yes.
So Paranormal Activity, they made it for $15,000.
Yeah.
And it grossed... $193 million worldwide.
Ugh.
It's basically they didn't pay for that film. Like $15,000 is like,
yeah,
like nothing.
That's yeah.
Like so, they basically just got given $193 million to basically spur on. Yeah, the Blumhouse's low budget model began in 2007.
Yeah,
and then they did Insidious.
Yes.
Which grossed over $100 million.
Yep.
And was made for $1.2 million. And then
Sinister
and
came
Sinister,
along.
Which was over $87 million and was budgeted at $3 million.
Yep.
So Sinister, we did that $3 million. That makes me think differently about that film now.
Yeah.
Like the fact that it was only made on that budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Paranormal Activity. $15,000, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I can't remember it. Is it all just like cam footage? Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's all found footage. And
they're non-actors?
Yeah, non-actors or at least like very low to no acting experience at all.
Well, 15,000, so you're paying for like the gear,
mm-hmm.
as in like the monitors.
Yep.
And then you've got an editor and a sound guy. You're basically just paying the wage of the editor, sound guy, and then you've given the actors a couple of thousand each?
Yeah, about that. It's crazy.
Now, or maybe they just edited it and all the money just went to the actors.
Yeah, quite possibly. It's crazy how much and how successful this has become. And now out of this, Blumhouse now have their own like gaming company. They're moving into all these, like they've got Blumhouse TV. There's a lot of like really popular shows like the Horrors of Dolores Roach, which is a really big one happening on Amazon right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's through Blumhouse. Like they are starting to put their fingers in all these different pies because they've got the money. They're super well known and they're not stopping anytime soon. So I figured today we would talk about some of our favorite Blumhouse releases. And it's very convenient because around the same time that we had decided to do this episode, IMDb came out and they have ranked Blumhouse's top 10 films. And
oh, really?
This is all based on IMDb aggregate ratings. So if we go through and talk about what our favorite ones are, I'll let you know what the top 10 from IMDb are.
And that's like the world.
Yeah, IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes basically are...
The rest of the world.
The rest of the world. So yeah, Dan, do you want to kick us off with some of your first favourite?
Yeah. So at first when you said like, oh, Blumhouse films, I was like, oh, I only know like one or two.
And then
like,
you look them up. And
then
like,
I looked up the list and I was like, oh, heaps of these films like are my favourite films of that kind of thing. And I just didn't click that they were Blumhouse or whatever. So first one up, all these films I've talked about before.
Yeah.
Is Dark Skies from 2013. Didn't know it was them. Yep. It is.
It is.
Like, that film, one of my, I think it's my favourite alien abduction film.
Have you watched the one that I messaged you about the other day, no, that No One Will Save You?
I do want to, though.
You it's really
on,
need
it's
to.
It's on Netties.
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus, I believe.
Oh, Disney Plus. I saw it on one of them.
Yeah.
They're one of the ones that I've got.
You got to watch it.
I do really want to watch that, and I will. But what I liked about Dark Skies is, you know, it was a... It's basically an alien abduction film that is like wrapped up to look like a ghost film.
Yeah.
So for like the first half of the film, it could be, it's like a paranormal like thing that's happening, as in paranormal? Paranormal aliens, yes, as well?
Well, you can sort of.
It's supposed to be a ghost. Yeah. It's more like a lot of the first like advertising of it and stuff, like if you had like the cover, it could have been like a ghost story or a house, an Amityville kind of vibe,
yeah,
kind of thing, which is great. And then it's not. And you got J.K. Simmons is in it as like the UFO nut man.
Yep, the expert.
Expert. And it just worked in ways where it worked in that sense of like kind of like what Babadook did, like just don't jump the shark and show shit.
Yep.
Like just let people... be scared
and
of the unknown.
Got a
and
lot like, of,
lots like, of like aliens are in the shots, but they're always in the background and they're blurred and you don't see them as much. And it's good because you don't really need to see them that much. The whole thing about alien abduction is that these fucking dudes that like look in your window or are in the shadows, or you can't do anything because they can just come into your house, like house invasions. Well, you know, that idea that like no matter how much you lock your house up or whatever, those
you're still not
coming.
Safe. If they want in, they're getting in.
Yeah. And like, and the other thing is, it's weird, is like you don't know if it's happening to you. You could not know.
Yeah.
And like, it plays on all that. And I mean, greys are one of my fears. Not because I think they're real, just because they're fears, and I've had like trauma from them for the kid of what they look like. It was when Communion came out and had that cover, and I was like, for some reason, it scared me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's because when I was younger and your mind's more malleable, it was like I didn't believe in ghosts and I never have. But with the aliens, they're like, it's not outside of the realms of possibility that they could be real.
Yes.
And then you had a whole bunch of nuts saying that they fucking thought they were real, and all these collaborating stories that they always look like these fuckheads, like these big-eyed motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And, to me as a kid, I was like, yeah, I've always been really cynical with, like, this stuff.
Yes.
Like, I don't believe in anything. But, like, that was the only thing I thought, well, there's no way to disprove it, and there's no way to, like, you can't go, like, well, I just don't think ghosts are real because I don't think heaven's real and I don't think any afterlife is real. There's no proof for that. But this is just an organic thing that, like, we're real, and if we go somewhere else, we're aliens.
Yeah.
So that's not saying that humans aren't real.
Yeah. I mean, it's ignorant.
I mean,
for us
and that
to think.
Is like, that's confirmation biasism at its best.
Yeah.
And so that's not a great argument. As a kid, that's what I thought. I was like, oh, fuck, yeah. Well, but then, and then there was these adults that were saying that they'd been abducted by them. And I'm like, oh, fuck, maybe. And because I grew up on a farm and I, a lot of my time spent on a farm. And
you see a lot of weird shit in the skies. There's a lot of weird shit in the skies down my way.
Well, just, there's so much space junk. It's absolutely bonkers. And then, when you're in the, there's nothing in rural areas, like there's no smog or anything blocking it. So you always see all the cool stuff. Well, it's not just that. It's like most of the alien abduction stuff was always like rural.
Yes.
It's always crossing the Nullarbor or shit like that. And then, those like stories, you know, going across the Nullarbor and, you know, the aliens come down, it lifts up the car and down, and they're like, they show on TV and these people are saying it happened and there's burn marks on the car. And then that's as far as it really goes most of the time. And it's just like, well, what were the burn marks on the car?
Yep.
But anyhow, I still don't believe in aliens. I don't believe, but now growing up, I'm like, well, like, you know, at the time it was like hypnotism was kind of like the prover thing that, you know, well, they're under hypnosis and they can't like make stories up. But like they know now that's fucking garbage. Like hypnotism's all like,
the you might get hypnotized in
that, but what you say is garbage.
Yeah.
It's just led stories. You
well,
know?
And that's the thing. People who are hypnotized are often led by questioning. It's like when you have the psychics on the TV. It's like, is anyone in here have an L in their family? And of course, you know, five people are going to put their hand up and be like, oh, my brother Larry. It's not to say that I don't believe in that kind of thing, because I do, but I feel a lot of the time
if there's money involved in anything, it's not real. Religion, psychics, all that shit. Yeah. if there's money to be made, it's probably not real.
Yeah.
If it's anything mystical, vagina crystals, eggs.
Yeah, don't know about that.
Remember that? Like the Gwyneth Paltrow shit? Like, that shit's just not... Magnets. The magnet bracelets. That craze. That shit's just not real. I'm sorry if you're out there and you believe in the magnet, like, bracelets and that. It's just not real.
Mm.
They proved it. It's just like, no, that's not how the iron in the body works.
I like science. I don't understand it, but I like science.
No, I like science.
I like
medicine is science. Like, you can't say that, like, a headache tablet doesn't get rid of a headache. You can't say that painkillers don't work.
They might
be highly addictive in that, but
yes,
they work because of the science. So to me, it's just like, yes, there is the science behind it, and here's the item, and it does what it says. That is something I believe in.
Yep, that's fair.
Anyhow, Dust Guys.
Yeah.
So Dust Guys is a... So I watched that one. It's Alien Abduction, but it, like, as I said, it starts to make it think it. And it has a nice little, like, the end half of it has a good, I'm not going to say the word twist, but I'm going to say, like, a good take.
Well, it changes direction.
You
think it's going one way and then all of a sudden it's just like, we're going this way.
Yeah.
Small, this is what it is.
And, like, my favourite film, small ensemble cast, like, it's not, like, Independence Day.
Mm.
It's, like, one family.
And that's what I like as well.
So I like Signs as well.
Yeah.
I don't like Shyamalan's movies, but Signs I really liked.
Yeah.
And it was just a good alien abduction. Like that. It's just so interesting.
Yeah.
You just like you just want to see like things and you want to know because they can jump the shark so easily.
Yes.
And Altered was another good one. That was the reverse one where they fucked over the alien.
Yeah, they captured the alien and they were like...
It was like after the abduction has happened and they go like... It's like a reverse...
Oh, yeah. Altered is a really good one. Like, if you haven't checked that one out before, you should really look into it.
Yeah, it's up there in mine.
Definitely.
And Independence Day, I like.
Yeah. Well, we watched that not too long. Well,
I
say that we watched that not too long ago, but we watched that quite a while ago now.
Independence Day,
still in your old house.
Rad fun. Like, just such a good film. Like, and it's so easy now to watch. Like,
yeah.
Now that it's, like, past its time and it's not the blockbuster, you go back to it and it's like...
It's just a fun action
Goldblum.
Film. Yeah, Goldblum.
And people just didn't realize how gold he was back then either, I don't think. Like,
no. We didn't appreciate him back then like we appreciate him now.
No.
So.
Goldblum, fucking Will Smith, that guy that plays the president.
Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman, he's always like a president.
He plays a good president, that's why.
He's like the poor man John Douglas. No, Michael Douglas.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, I always think, is that Michael Douglas? No, it's him. Yeah, a whole bunch of, like, good cast people in it and just a good... I mean, it's not good film, but it's, like, it's pretty good for being a blockbuster alien invasion film.
It's up there.
And it makes sense and you got, oh, this is such good Goldblum.
Goldblum? No, no, no. That's all we need to say.
No.
Goldblum.
You have to recycle, Dad.
Okay.
give them virus. Anyhow, I can't do a goblin. But now, that's my first one, 2013. So, I was like, fuck, good one, fucking you guys.
Mm.
Blumhouse.
Well, my first one is Get Out.
Get Out.
2017, directed by Jordan Peele. So his other two films, Us and...
Nope,
are not done through Blumhouse. They both have like bigger budgets and bigger production companies.
It's like, that's the rules. Sorry, you make your film's too big now. We have to pass you on to another company.
Quite possibly. So basically, if you haven't seen Get Out yet, so Chris and his girlfriend go upstate to visit her parents for the weekend. Chris is an African-American guy and Rose is Caucasian. So he's a little bit apprehensive going up there with like all the white people around him. And he starts to become kind of like put off and weirded out by the fact that they're so overly accommodating to him and everything, but they're so interested in him as a person and him in relation to their daughter. And as the weekend progresses, like a lot of weird shit really becomes apparent, and then there's all these discoveries that he has. It just becomes very weird and very insane. Even though it came out in 2017, I don't really want to ruin it because I think a lot of people, if you haven't watched it...
Yeah, it's one of those films like Nope and stuff like that where, like, the point of watching it is that you don't know what's going to happen.
Yes.
Like, yeah. It's like the point of watching it is the story of what's going on. So
this is Jordan Peele's very first film. You know, he's got a fantastic cast. Daniel Kaluuya, he plays Chris. He's also in Nope. He plays
OJ.
Thank you. Alison Williams is in it. Bradley Whitford, Stephen Root, Catherine Keener. So it's got a really good cast for what it is heading in. And then obviously it came out and made a lot of money, and it's really boosted up Jordan Peele's career as well. So definitely.
Yeah, that was like the one. Nope was like brought him to like everyone's attention.
Yeah, like, Nope is like the blockbuster film
for him.
Nope,
yeah.
Is his Independence Day.
Independence Day.
All right. What's your next one?
Mine is Happy Death Day.
Yes.
That was the film that came out of nowhere for me that you said was good, and like the idea of it, I was like, oh, sounds crap. To me, it looked like the cover and that. I was like, just another slashery kind of teen. I know what you did last summer thing. So I just don't care about them that much. I know you love them, Jim.
I love them.
But I just find them like, they're always like, they're lacking in ideas a lot of the time, I find. They're just like, a killer, killing people. And if they're not killing people in interesting ways, I don't give a fuck.
Yep.
I do like Scream, though.
Well, Scream's fucking classic.
Scream's different, yeah. It's where's Craven gone. And, like, you know, there's all that stuff, like Thanksgiving, which they've remade. I saw we had tickets at work the other day, like, for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. We've got... and I was like, we're doing a compo.
Is it a remake of Thanksgiving? Like the trailer one? Is it just a remake of that?
Yeah, he's made a feature film out of Thanksgiving.
Who?
Eli Roth.
Wait, wasn't Thanksgiving a feature film?
No. It was the trailer. He'd only made the trailer for... I'm pretty certain there is a Thanksgiving horror film, but this is, like, finally he's gotten...
Yeah, because the Thanksgiving was the fake Grindhouse trailer. Yeah. See, I'm getting confused with... one of the other like actual real films from back in the day that like, did that trailer. Like, yep. It was like, what was it? Doesn't matter. I'll never remember, and I'll just sit around here going for like 20 minutes until I remember. Yeah, right. I'd forgotten that. Yeah, the Thanksgiving trailer was a piss take of a real trailer of a real film, which I can't remember the name of. But yeah. So yeah, right. So this is like Planet Terror and that.
Yeah, Grindhouse.
Was it all of them were those like?
Yes.
Death Proof and that, they were trailers. No, they weren't trailers. No. They were the trailers.
So, yeah, they
Thanksgiving
did, like,
was the trailer in the one because yes. They were short films, weren't they?
Yeah. So, Don't Go in the Basement and other one that's just escaped my mind.
The Thanksgiving was that. Well, I just kept going,
Thanksgiving. I really hope they do that in the film.
I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either.
So, he made the trailer and he's made this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, cool. Yeah, I might be okay then.
Yeah. Oh, it looks pretty good. Like, the trailers have revealed some pretty interesting...
I was getting confused with The Burning because it's got a hedge clippers.
Yeah. No, that's okay. That's okay. So,
is it Happy Death Day?
Yeah.
So, I chose Happy Death Day mainly because it was a horror film that took me totally by surprise and I didn't realize how good it was and layered. And, yeah, it's just such a fun film. Such a good... Oh, man, it is a horror film, but it's more to me like a slasher. The second one is a sci-fi.
Straight up sci-fi, definitely.
Yeah, the second one is not a horror. Like, Happy Death Day to you, the second one, yeah. So the story is that, like, you got this vacuous cunt of a woman.
That's a great description.
And she's a lady in high school, college or whatever. And I can't remember actually how it starts. And she gets killed.
Yeah.
Right. Tell me how it happened. I can't remember now. So I can't remember the actual nitty gritty of the film.
Yeah. So I can't remember the first kill, but she wakes up in someone else's room.
That's it.
And she gets up and she basically leaves, progresses through her day. She gets killed and then she wakes up in this room again and then progresses like, oh, shit, what's happened? Like, yeah, oh, maybe so I'm just fucked up.
Yeah, she wakes up like as if she's hungover.
So it's Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it's basically Groundhog Day, but there's a killer that kills her every day at the end of the day. And so every day she retains her memories, but no one else does.
Yep.
And so she has to like work out who this, like a rabbit?
It's like a baby.
A giant baby face. It's like the mascot of the school is like their team is the babies or something. Or
something dumbass.
Yeah, so this giant Cupid's baby face man with a knife is killing her every day and no matter what she does, she'll like die.
Yeah.
And she has to like work out basically like Edge of Tomorrow style. Yep. So she just like takes clues before she gets and it's like this super interesting fucking film. So there's so many deaths in it.
And it's so funny.
And sometimes she just kills herself to reset the timeline to work other stuff out.
Yeah, and she's kind of like, oh, I fucked it. And then she's like, starts
but because
again.
She wakes up in a room, not her room, and there's a guy in there who's like this nerdy character who she'd never. She's like the popular girl.
Yeah.
And as the film goes on, each time she like resets it and goes out, she becomes a better person in herself and realizes that he's got self-worth and he's a good person and that storyline part of it works really well. And I think that was the genius of it, that like she just you start to like her.
Yeah.
And like and want them to get together and kind of thing. But it's hard because that thing where he wakes up and he doesn't know anything each day, but she learns more about him and it's cool and you know she's learned heaps of stuff. It's just there's so many good scenes. And every idea in that is done in it and, like, more ideas are done in it and there's lots of good... And, like, it makes sense and it's cool.
Yeah.
And it's super interesting and it's great. And it's just a good film.
Yeah.
You should watch it. If you haven't seen Happy Death Day... See, it's something I would have never watched if you didn't say to watch it. And I was like, oh, dang.
Yeah, it is a fun film and, you know, you've
and
got
the second
that
one wasn't as fun. It was still good.
It was still good, but sci-fi, wasn't
and then
as...
there was going to be a third one, but it got canned.
Yeah, they just didn't go ahead with it, I don't... There's probably like a million reasons it didn't go ahead, but yeah. I mean, Happy Death Day, I 100% recommend everyone check that out.
It should have been just no sequel, though.
No. But, you know, a film makes a lot of money. They want
to... Did I say it was 2017?
Yeah, 2017.
Oh. But, awesome. Yeah, then that... As I said, it was another one I didn't know was a Blumhouse film. Actually, all mine on the list, I didn't know were Blumhouse films. I just thought they were films that I liked.
Yep. So. Yeah, there you go. You're learning a little bit about Blumhouse. Okay, so my next one is Black Phone.
The
Black Phone, which came out in 2021.
I still really want to watch and I can't keep forgetting.
Directed by Scott Derrickson, who did Sinister.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Which How much was the Black Phone? Did he do this one on a shoestring?
It would have been a smallish budget.
Has it got William Dafoe in it?
It does not. It does have Ethan Hawke.
Oh, really? He uses Ethan Hawke in heaps of shit, apparently.
Yes, he does. So Ethan Hawke is in it, and so is James Ransone, who was the cop from Sinister. He's in this as well.
The nice guy.
Yeah, his character is like MVP of the film. So basically the concept of this film is young Finney, he's like this shy but kind of clever 13-year-old kid. He's abducted by a serial killer in the neighborhood called The Grabber,
I think William Dafoe's in it because the mask looks like William Dafoe that he wears. Like,
God fucking damn it, yes.
That's why I've always thinks he's in it. Yeah, well, sorry.
Oh, God. So he gets grabbed. He wakes up in this soundproof basement where he, you know, he's not going to escape. He's not going to scream. And then in this room, there is a phone on the wall. The grabber obviously tells him, like, don't bother trying because the phone has been disconnected for years. However, the phone on the wall does begin to ring, and Finney discovers that he can hear voices from the killer's previous victims, and they're basically there to help him. So, like, they can tell him as much as they've experienced. So, like, oh, if you do this, he doesn't do this. So, like, don't go up. He'll open the door. He'll leave the door open. Don't go upstairs. Just sit.
Oh, so it's a rule-based movie.
Yeah.
Kind of like if so, yeah, the what is it called? The Death Note vibe. Or
yeah, and it also becomes very much like a video game. So it's like, oh, you need to do this in order to do this.
You need to find the cog to fit on the square hole.
Yeah. A lot of people have likened it, again, to The Ring and...
Oh, really?
Not The Ring, sorry. Too Sinister.
Oh.
But I don't care. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
How good that you got The Ring and Sinister confused because they're basically the same film.
It's... Yes. But Ethan Hawke does a phenomenal job in this. Like, he's not as skinny and like as gaunt as he was in Sinister. This time he's all bulked up.
Muscly or fatty?
He's in that in between.
Oh yeah.
So he's got the mask which changes throughout carb the film. Loading. Yeah, he's cultivating mass.
Yeah.
So his mask changes throughout the film as he progresses in his role as this killer who is
that sounds really good.
Preparing to kill this child. And then, of course, we get this weird supernatural element with Finney's sister. She
Don't
has
tell me
dreams.
Any spoilers, I really want
to no more spoilers. But yeah.
So 2022. It's a bit early. I mean, your next ones are even later.
Right?
This year.
Those ones are a lot easier to talk about without spoiling anything. So yeah, Black Phone. We should probably just do it as an episode, I reckon.
No.
Then you'll have to watch it.
That I want to watch it with my Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's fair. All right.
What are you? That's me.
It's you.
My next one is The Invisible Man.
Yes.
2020. Man, that film was fucking good.
Yeah.
It's such a good horror film. That's a slasher film.
Yep.
And that's how.
It's so infuriating because it's just like, it's another one of those women going crazy films because no one will believe her.
And it's so good because it's Elizabeth Moss, who's like Handmaid's Tale. So she's like known for like Mad Men, where she plays like Peggy.
I've never seen Mad Men.
She plays like in the world of men.
Mm.
And she's a Handmaid's Tale in the world of men. And now she's in The Invisible Man, which is this dominating man.
She's
over
in the world of a man.
Yeah, well, a dominating man.
Mm.
And it's just like, Perfect cast. And then, like, fuck, this film is this. It's weird because it's the Invisible Man story, as in The Invisible Man. Remember Hollow Man with Kevin Bacon?
I never saw it.
Really?
Yeah, it's going on the list of films that I want to do as an episode just because I've never seen it.
It was like, it was really weird because like, I always thought, people were like, oh, could if you want to be invisible, would you be invisible? She could. And I always thought, why would you ever want to be invisible? I watched Hollow Man and then I was like, oh, that's why people want to be invisible, because they want to be rapists.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like, because they want to be able to get away with all the dodgiest shit that they want to. So basically, if you say, I'd love the invisibility power, you just want to be a rapist, in my opinion.
Because
there's nothing you can do with an invisible power apart from be naked in a room with people and they don't know you're there and you can do whatever you want. And I'm like, what could you do? I mean, you could rob a bank.
Yes.
Sure. But there's nothing for good. There's no becoming invisible. What power could you use for good?
I mean, you'd become an assassin, but that also is not for good.
Yeah, exactly.
That's for greed.
There's nothing to becoming invisible. So anyone in life says, oh, I'd love to be able to turn invisible, it's because they're bad people.
Okay.
They just want to do bad shit and get away with it.
Yep.
Right. That's what I thought.
That's what you thought?
That's what I think.
That's
when I people.
That's fair.
You know, nope, that's... What's that lady? And then... who's the other invisible person? Fantastic Four. Reed Richards, Stretchy Man's wife is whatever her fucking name is, Karen.
Yeah.
It's like it's just funny. Like, you know, that's the other most you got Invisible Man, and then you got her and the Invisible Lady, most famous invisible people. And it's funny because, like, you know, everyone in that group has his flamboyant powers, and the woman's thing is to become invisible.
Yeah. Well, she can blindside you then. You can't see her. Yeah, but it's that whole thing of, like,
in a sexist like culture.
Yeah.
The woman's
invisible.
The woman becomes invisible, and I'm like, invisibility. Who would have thought? We can read more into it. Anyway, Invisible Man. Fuck. So it's all tech in this. It's not like magic or, you know, it's like a tech suit thing. Oh, man, it's so good.
Yeah. Well, it's really good.
You have, this film's tension is out the wazoo. It's so good.
It definitely really paints a picture of what abusive relationships like, and being trapped in a relationship and not being able to get out, so much so that, like, obviously, you know, people with narcissistic tendencies, which is what he has, and this is how cult leaders come about, is the idea is you separate. So you separate the person, Elizabeth Moss character, from her friends and family, which means that he can become more controlling and more domineering. And then, of course, as she escapes him, well, now she's like the enemy, because all he wants is her back, and if the only way he can get her back
is... doesn't even really want her back. He just...
Yeah, well, you get to a point where you're like, well, fuck you two.
Yeah, yeah. He does, like, there's a whole bunch of the gaslighting, like, kind of stuff, and it's done really well, and using, you know, a male-driven society against a female, and it's just like... And it's all that's in there. And that's done perfectly as well. And then the horror aspect's done perfectly as well. And then the tension and, like, the scenes where you're like, you don't, like, he could be anywhere. Like, yeah. It's so good.
And that's the other thing is,
and
like,
and then the fucking scares and shit are wicked. And he's like, he's not like a fucking monster. Or he is a monster in the fact, like, as in psychologically, but, like, it's fucking cool.
Yeah.
And it does make you feel like, yeah, a good representation of being trapped in an abusive relationship. It's so good.
Yeah.
So you get all that. You get all that mushed into this film with, like, chronically good effects and stuff. And like, there are effects that you're just like, oh, yeah, it's just so easy to do. But, like, it just looks so good.
Yeah. Yeah. They really, like, they did a...
And you see her basically transform into, like, something else. Like, yeah. And, like, the main character, she's a good actress. Like, you can't...
Us is a good example. Like, she's in Us.
Is she in Us?
Yeah, she's in it for, like, maybe a total of 5 to 10 minutes.
Couple of scenes.
She's a couple of scenes, but holy shit, when she's in it, oh, she's just, yeah, no.
She's an actor.
Acting.
What is it in Team America? Like, the most powerful, like, trait a person can have, acting. My God. Hot gun actor. Yeah, Team America. I like Team America. Heaps of people don't like it. I think it's funny the whole way through. People are like, oh, the joke runs thin. We get it, they're puppets. Nah. On the whole way through. You put, Trey Parker's music in a film, I'll fucking watch the shit out of it. I love all music that dude does. Like, studies film, music and that.
Yeah.
Everything he does, I think is funny.
Yeah.
I think he's like him and Matt Stone have like probably cultivated the minds of a whole generation to see how shit society is. And like, they don't get it every time, but no. Majority of the time they get it.
They're
Ross's
very
problem with South Park, Ross who I work with, is he says that the problem with South Park, he thinks, or he might have heard this on this might be someone else's opinion because Ross likes to watch a lot of videos, is that South Park takes a really big, important issue and really nails it down on why it's shit, but then they take a small issue and give it the same amount of, like, so everything is at, like, 100%. So, so they'll fucking drill fucking, you know, something really horrible, like, you know, like Trump or something like that, but then they'll take a small issue and give it the same treatment.
Yep.
Of a small opinion that they have about something.
The biggest example at the moment is the motorcyclists. So they're talking about cyclists, and they end up going to court and trying to explain because they're using, like, derogatory language to reference motorcyclists, and they're like, no,
Is this South Park?
This is South Park, yeah. So they've taken this like very small thing where people just think cyclists are dickheads.
As in bike riders? Or motorbikes?
Both. Yeah, motorbikes.
Oh.
So they're making this whole episode is a huge thing, very similar to like the whole episode they would do on Scientology.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so
what
it's
I
like
meant. Yeah.
Two very
They go 100% on everything, like no matter what it is. And to me, I'm like, you know what? That might be what they do, but I don't give a shit.
Mm.
Because, like, it's still, yeah, it's still there. Yeah. They're still, yeah. A lot of the time they always have, like, more than one. There's usually about four things in an episode that they're going through. So,
yeah.
Just if you're not into that one, look at the other one.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all know Randy's the best character.
Yeah, we do. We know that Randy, he's Lord. Yeah. That's all you need to know.
La la la.
I am Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. My next one is a film that came out this year. It didn't come out too long ago. It's called The Passenger, directed by Carter Smith. So this film is a ride or die kind of film. Randolph Bradley is like this perfectly content, fading
what
into the
ride
background.
Or die mean?
Well, you ride or you die. That's it.
What do you mean? As in you get in a car?
You get in a car.
Well, he is a passenger. I get that.
He is.
So it's like, well, so he's in the genre of like The Hitcher?
Kind of, but not.
Or The Road? No, not The Road. The Duel?
No.
Okay.
No.
So then I don't know what that means.
This basically, this young kid, he goes into for his morning shift at a burger place and he is just harassed. He's continuously harassed by everyone he works with, and one of his co-workers just decides one day, he's like, no, like, leave him alone. Like, stop. Don't try and make him do this. Like, just leave him alone. And they're like, yeah, fuck you, but fuck you, buddy. He goes out to his car, comes back in, the co-worker.
Oh, yeah, the one.
So the character Benson.
Standing up for the guy, yep.
Played by Kyle Gowner, who's in a lot of stuff at the moment. He's doing good things. He goes out to his car, comes back in with a shotgun, and he just blasts everyone in the restaurant. It's not open yet, so it's just some, like, three
people. The employees, yeah, yeah. Yep.
And then he forces Randy into a car, and he's like, he basically takes him out for a day. And it's like, you know, we're going to, why are you the way that you are? What do you want to do? Like, if you weren't having to call
him. Is he like off him because he's just shot everyone, or does he kind of respect him?
He's kind of just like going along with it. Like, he's clearly upset that a bunch of people have been killed, but he just goes with this guy. Like, what else is he going to do? Like, if he doesn't go, he's probably going to get shot. And it turns out that Randy's got his own troubles, and Benson is trying to make him face what he's done and try
kind
and explain
in a
to him.
Kind of in a saw manner, like putting someone through trauma to face their other traumas.
Yeah, kind of. But Kyle Gowner's performance in this is just incredible because he's so unhinged, but he's trying to do the right thing for this kid.
Is he likable?
He is not, but kind of. He's got a very delightful cardigan that I want. His cardigan game is very strong as well. But yeah, so this is definitely low budget. We get a lot of like diner sequences and then very minimal interaction. It's mostly just those two guys kind of talking and going through things. But
I'm watching the trailer now. He does have a very Kurt Cobain vibe with the cardigan and the ringer t-shirt. And does he have blue jeans with holes in the knees?
I don't think so, no. But quite possibly he does. Yeah, this one is definitely worth checking out. This one also was released not as part of Blumhouse's movie line, but part of the TV line. I don't know why, because it's not a TV movie. It is a movie. So, yeah, this one has also made it quite, at this point, it's like high on my favorite films of 2023 list.
Yeah, right. It looks good.
It is enjoyable. And I like a dialogue heavy film as well. So that works.
A bit of a thinker.
Bit of a thinker.
Okay, so my last one is, so none of these are in order. They're just the films I like. I kind of like them all on the same level. Is from 2020, The Hunt.
Yep.
We did this as an episode? No, we didn't.
We didn't do this as an episode. We've talked about it quite a bit.
So The Hunt does not have Helen Hunt in it, but it should have.
Should have.
At some stage. So The Hunt, I always get this confused with the other one that's similar, Furies.
Yep.
I get these two films confused. Because if I go into one, like, yeah. So The Hunt is one of those films where a bunch of people wake up. This is the one with Dennis in it, isn't it? From Always Sunny.
No.
Is he in The Hunt? Isn't he one of the rich people?
Is he?
Yes.
All right. Well, you talk and I'm
Oh, because you wouldn't have known that at that time.
No.
He's the guy. He's the woke guy that always corrects their, like, which makes it hilarious.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to rewatch it if it is the case.
It is the case. I'm pretty sure. Anyhow, The Hunt.
Sturgill Simpson's in it. He plays Vanilla Nice. Anyway, please continue.
So The Hunt is, you know,
people. Fuck, it is.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to have to rewatch it.
A bunch of people wake up after being drugged and they're on, like, a property or in some place. And it's one of those movies where rich people get people together and watch them get killed.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, like, human, what are they called? It's basically an urban legend, that thing where, you know, the one percenters.
Yeah, they bring people in to hunt them for sport.
Yeah. And, like, it, and so it goes from there like that. It has its twists and turns and that, but what they, so these people have all been chosen for a certain reason. You don't know what that is, and I'm not going to say what that is.
Yeah.
But, and it follows, the main character is this lady, who, I will spoil a bit of it, is, like, not the person that they thought they were getting.
Yeah, they grabbed the wrong, like, same name.
Same name, but they grabbed the wrong person. And unfortunately for them, the one percenters and everyone else. So what they do is they put these people in this field, and then they there's a big crate there, and it opens up, and there's weapons in there, and it's basically battle royale, and you know, all other
like the rich Hunger people? Games or something.
Yeah, it's kind of like they can shoot each other, but I think do the rich people? I'm trying to remember. It's such a good, you know, you don't even know where they are, and it's like, you know, there's still like stuff around, like as in. There's like petrol stations with people in it and stuff like that.
It's like a very small remote town.
And it just goes from there. And yeah, this main girl, they don't know who she is, and they work. They unfortunately have picked up like a fucking ex military fucking Desert Storm lady soldier person who fucking is the best actor in it. Like,
yeah,
she has like kind of like almost like she has like kind of, she is like a full accent. Like,
yeah, they. Like,
a Texan access, Tennessee or whatever, and I don't know.
She's very polite. She's very well spoken, but they keep deeming her to be like just a dumb hick.
She looks like the dumb hick or like the cannon fodder or the bimbo, and she like has like full military, and it's so good.
Yeah,
it's like one of those reverse, like, you know, you just like because you fucking hate the one percenters in this. They made them so good. They're all like these fucking nepo like people, and they're in the game.
Yep.
So it's like a game move. Yeah. And like, my God. And it's so good.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil any scenes, but and it doesn't take long for it to just start getting amazingly good. Like it's like starts and you're like, this is cool. And then it starts getting cooler. And then you're like, bang, bang, bang. And then you're like, and then when it kind of gives you what it's about, you're like, huh.
Well, it starts out because, like, straight up, like, one of the people that wakes up in the middle of this field is Emma Roberts, who is a relatively well-known. I mean, she's one of the killers in Scream 4.
Yeah.
You know, she's a well-known, not a good actress, but actually, she's well-known.
She's the main character for, like.
So you think that this is going to be her, and then all of a sudden, it's not her.
Yeah. Way worth watching.
Yeah. Oh, shit, yeah. It's not 100% horror, but I don't fucking care.
Oh, it is.
This movie is great. Because it's horror.
It's, like, super violent.
Mm.
And it's horror. Like, I wouldn't, what other Garrigan put it? It's horrific.
Heaps of the shit in it. Yeah, I don't know what you'd categorize it as. But, like,
it's got this black comedy vein running through it where it's just like a, like, real black comedy as in, like, yeah, it's kind of poking fun at society in a way where you're just like, oh, fuck.
Yep. Everyone should check it out.
And, yeah, it kind of went. I showed it to my dad and he was like, he didn't get it until about a bit into it. And then, like, because my dad would have been, like, he was conflicted because he wanted to be on the side of the bad guys, but the bad guys were so fucking shit.
Yeah.
It's weird because, like, my dad's old. You know, he has views that
he's of a generation.
He's of a generation.
Mm-hmm.
So to him, the people that were getting killed, he understood that, and he thought he was almost on the bad guy side until the bad guys reveal themselves. And then he did a full flip on that, and then like, but then he like didn't quite understand what it was about. Like, but he still enjoyed it heaps.
I've recommended this film to so many people. And oh man, now that I know Glenn Howerton's in it, fuck yeah, I love him so much. Oh yeah, yeah, The Hunt, so good. Well, my last one is, and again, it's a new one. It only came out like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, maybe. It's Totally Killer, directed by, let me butcher this, please, Nanachka Khan. And I apologize if I have just totally ruined that.
Just ruined the film?
I've just ruined the whole film. So 35 years after a shocking murder of three teens, an infamous killer returns on Halloween night to claim a fourth victim. When 17-year-old Jamie comes face-to-face with the masked maniac, she accidentally time travels back to 1987 and is forced to navigate the unfamiliar culture. She teams up with her teenage mother to take down the psycho once and for all.
Sounds a bit like Happy Death
Day. It's got a lot of Happy Death Day vibes, but this is a straight up slasher. You know, we get this weird cool guy Max Headroom mask. So he's got that. It looks like
for the people that aren't 1,000 years old, Max Headroom was like a thing from the 80s. Yes. So he was a...
He was like a VTuber before VTubers.
Well, he was a totally CG character, except he wasn't.
No.
He was a man dressed to look like a CG character, a computer graphics character, and then edited in ways to make it look like he was an edited CG.
Yeah. Kind of glitching
and shit character. So he made his whole thing in Max Headroom as like... He had a plastic face, but it was a mask. But, yeah, real weird idea when you think about it. Before there was computer graphics, really, but he was a computer graphics person.
Yeah.
He was kind of looked like, if you can imagine, like the robot from Red Dwarf. What was his name?
Crichton.
Yeah. Like, but as like a man in a suit. And the suit even was plastic. Like, yeah. And he was like, and he was edited in ways like, where he glitches. And he had like... Oh, it was in front of a green screen, so it was all these like very 80s like computer graphics. So like just the lines and the grids and shit like that. And what did he do? Did he host a music show or something? Or
I don't actually 100% know.
It's Australian, isn't it?
No, it's American. Because then they had that the Max Headroom conspiracy theory where this like...
Oh dear, is that like an...
No. People like interfered with a... signal and they beamed in like their own Max Headroom kind of episode where he's just being fucking weird. They still haven't figured out who did it. This is like years and years and years ago. So
Max Headroom debuted in 1985 on Channel 4 in the British made cyberpunk TV movie Max Headroom 20 minutes into the future. Huh. That's what it was called. Cyberpunk TV movie?
Interesting, because he was played by an American.
In the movie, Edison Carter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. So after 2 days after the TV movie was broadcast, Max hosted Channel 4's Max Headroom Show, a TV program where it introduces music videos. Yeah. Okay. So that's what I remember as like, he was kind of like the countdown or you know, the whatever that is, MTV.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It was definitely not an Australian thing.
No. But yeah, so this film, we get Kiernan Shipka, who plays Sabrina in the Chilling Tales of Sabrina. She's absolutely fantastic in this. Julie Bowen plays the mum. She's from Modern Family. And then we just sort of like, once we hit the 80s, it just becomes absolutely ridiculous. And it's really fun. We get a lot of comedy. Like, she has this moment where she, you know, she runs into this woman. She's just appeared in 1987. She's like, oh my God, like, you know, what year is this? And the woman's like, oh, it's 1987. She's like, oh my God. And the woman's just like, yeah, I know, right? The 80s are almost over and I haven't even tried cocaine yet. We get a lot of like really funny moments, a lot of its time, and they really try, because I think a lot of the audience would be younger than us. So they're really trying to like push those 80s references hard. But it was just a lot of fun. Ridiculous fun.
Yeah, I'm just watching the trailer right now.
Yes. So
how does she go back in time?
So her friend...
Or is that like a story part of it?
It's a story part of it. So I won't get into it because this film is extremely new. It is streaming on Amazon Prime, so if you've got Amazon...
I think the guy, the killer, is a Max Headroom mask.
It looks like it.
I think it is, yeah. I'm just looking at it now.
Very much looks like it.
Weird.
It's weird.
That is weird.
So before we head into our mentions, let's have a look at what... did I just turn it down? No, I didn't. So this is IMDb's Blumhouse Films ranked in their top 10. So number one,
mm-hmm.
Get Out.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Number two, Split.
See, I didn't like Split. No, I didn't even put it on my list.
I didn't love it. Didn't love it.
And was that the first one in that one? No, the first one was, what's the one with Bruce Willis?
Glass.
No.
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable.
Yeah.
Unbreakable. So Split's the third one. No.
No.
Glass is the last one.
I think so.
I don't think I've seen Glass.
No, me neither.
I didn't mind Split because, like, you know, it had, I do like, what's that guy's name? The guy who plays, the main guy.
Yes.
McAvoy.
Yes.
James?
James McAvoy.
James McAvoy.
And it's got a very young and Anya Taylor-Joy in it.
Oh.
Yeah, but before she does anything major, like The Witch.
Witch.
Witch. Number three is The Invisible Man.
Yeah.
Number four, The Black Phone.
Yeah.
Number five, Insidious.
Yeah.
Six is Sinister.
Yep.
Seven is Glass.
Yep. Oh, man.
Eight is Happy Death Day.
Does that mean Unbreakable with Blumhouse?
No.
Weird.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
It might have been. I don't know. I didn't see it on the list. Hush is number nine, which is...
Batman.
Yeah, they did their own Batman film and no one knew about it. So that one is a film about a woman who is deaf. It's a home invasion film involving a deaf woman. And number 10 is Halloween 2018.
Oh, I didn't even put that on my list at all.
No, I didn't put it on mine, which is strange. I did enjoy it. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Like the other ones better.
Yeah.
So none of my, like, only The Invisible Man. Like, The Hunt, Happy Death Day, and Dark Skies aren't on that list.
Mm.
But there's, yeah, well.
Yep. So mentions, honourable mentions, we've got Upgrade, 2021 film.
Hang on. Is that in it? That's not a Blumhouse film, is it?
Yeah.
Oh. That's like one of my favorite films. Damn it.
Yeah.
I didn't even see that. Are you sure?
Yep.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I would have totally put that on my list. I would have replaced that for, which one would I knock out?
Hard, isn't it?
If I had to probably take one out, I would take Happy Death Day out.
Yeah.
Not because like I don't like that film,
no, but you like Upgrade
is
better.
Like one of my favorites. I didn't even know that was a Blumhouse film. See, I'm coming into this as like, fucking wet fish. I don't know anything. Yeah. I don't even know what that comment means. Wet fish. yeah. If you haven't watched Upgrade, have you watched Upgrade?
Yeah, no, I watched it with you.
Yeah. How good is it?
Yeah, it's so fucking good. It's so violent. It's like gratuitously violent.
And it has so many knee-slappingly good moments.
Yeah.
So it's made by the guy who made Saw.
So it's
one
it's
of them.
Lee Whannell.
Yeah.
It's his opportunity. And, you know, as we know with The Invisible Man, like Lee Whannell is a good scriptwriter and director in his own right, because he's often, I think he's often shadowed so much by James Wan, and he shouldn't be.
Recovery.
Yeah. Yep. There you go.
Yeah, but Upgrade's amazing. So future, so a believable future, which is quite in the far in the future as well, if I remember. It's quite, what?
I don't think it's like that crazy far. It might be.
But I think it's crazy far into the future, but it still doesn't look like they haven't gone over the top, which I really liked. Like, as in like, you know, there aren't flying cars and like stuff like that. It's just like a really good future where like the most things that are different is there's self-driving cars and stuff like that, right? Which is completely we're starting to get now, which is like pretty good. And it's about a guy who becomes like a quadriplegic.
It's like
he has a car.
He has a car accident, and it's the same car accident. It's been a while since I've watched it.
Yeah.
It's the same accident that killed his wife.
Yeah.
And he gets offered this implant.
Opportunity by an eccentric billionaire.
Yes.
So it's like, the rules are it's like off the grid kind of like surgery, but like it'll be able to make you walk again. So he's getting like, and it's basically, it's like he gets kind of rebuilt. It's like an AI gets built into him. Yep. That kind of like, it's like a Siri.
Yes.
Get to run his body so he can walk again, except that like, it's like, it becomes kind of sentient and talks to him and like,
yeah.
And it, he can allow it to, you know, take over his body if he wants it to, like, you know, to do stuff. So, and my God, when he, that first scene where he allows it to take control is yep. so good, you remember? And it's shot so well and it's got all these film ideas. I was blown away. I hadn't seen stuff like that. The last time, like, the craft of a film, like, blew me away was, like, The Matrix.
Yeah.
Where this is, like yep. the film techniques they use in this scene when he, like, and it's just so robotic. And his movements, like, him acting the movements out as if an AI is controlling his movie is so good.
Yeah.
And it's a fight scene, which just makes it amazing.
Yeah, but, those fight scenes.
And the robot is like the AI is like, you know, it doesn't do flashy moves or anything.
No.
It just does the move, the quickest, the most minimal, and can cause the most amount of damage to a person. And it's so brutal.
Yeah, because he's got like superhuman strength and agility. So at any point, he's just like, bam.
But he moves in a weird way. Yeah. And the camera moves with him, remember? Like if he's like flipping something, the camera moves, flips. It had all these cool moments. Like when he stands up, he just kind of like up. Yep. And like, and has his sound like of him moving.
The soundtrack is amazing as well.
Such a good film.
So many people aren't talking about that.
When it came out, it was like my favorite. And I tried to show it to so many people and like no one had heard of it. And every person I showed was like, fuck yeah.
Damn. Heck yeah.
It just has style. It has music. It has sound. It has looks. It has editing. It has idea.
Like, everything. Everything you
want. Can't go wrong.
My next honourable mention is Whiplash. So this isn't a horror film at all. This was released through Sony as well as Blumhouse.
I've been afraid of J.K. Simmons since this film.
Oh my God! So basically, this drummer.
It's a biopic almost. It feels like about drumming.
Yeah. Fucking, so it's like this.
Like jazz drumming or whatever it is?
Yeah, yeah, which is insanely hard to get into. And jazz drumming, jazz in general, is like you need to learn an instrument and then you unlearn it in order to play jazz. So there's this kid drummer. He's trying to like get into this like orchestra and J.K. Simmons, he's like the best that there can be. But J.K. Simmons is a fucking asshole. Like,
Is he the conductor or is he just the drum teacher?
He's the conductor, but I think he also has like a history with drumming and he knows that well.
Yeah, and
as
it's
well.
Just like so weird, abusive.
It is a very much so. This kid is all he's trying to do. He wants to be the best that he can be.
It's all,
you know,
psychological. It's like it's gaslighting and like up to the point of wazoo.
Yeah, and like, of course, if you've ever
goes
played
so far.
Yeah, if you've ever played drums, like you get calloused fingers and you blisters. That it fucking hurts. And this kid he's powering through all these injuries that you get when you play drums because he's trying to be the best.
And you don't know whether J.K. Simmons is just fucking vindictive and horrible or he knows what he's talking about or he cares about the kid. You don't know.
Yeah, no,
and
it's that's
so
the
good
thing.
So
it's like
everything he does, you're like second guessing going, is he doing that because he's that's
he's,
what needs to be
knows
done.
That this kid could
is
be
he doing
really
it for
good.
The best?
He just needs to push himself.
Or is he just doing it because he's bitter at himself? Is he just doing it because he's like sadistic? You don't know.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
It's
like,
such a good
and
film.
Some of the such outrage. And it's just about drumming.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's not just about that. It's about the abusive relationship.
Yeah.
And like the lengths people go for their craft and all this other stuff as well. But like the way the scenes are put together is like that you don't know the actual ever motivations of J.K. Simmons. Like, and you kind of like there are scenes where you just want him to praise the dude and like, you know, it's weird. Like you don't know what side you're even barring for. You know that the kid's getting abused, but then like he could just not go.
Yeah, and that's
he's not
the problem.
Like trapped there or anything. He could just not go to practice.
But that's the problem with abusive relationships. Like, A, people don't tend
to know
they're
right.
an abusive
relationship.
So like it's got this whole other thing that abusive relationships can be on a professional level, not just a personal level. So
I've been through one.
Yeah, you have. But yeah, it's this film is so good. And I mean I love drumming as well. So for me it's like it's my jam. I've got a couple of dishonorable mentions. So the first one I will mention is Firestarter, the one that came out in 2022 with Zac Efron. It was not great. Soundtrack's beautiful. It's done by John Carpenter. I don't think it was an appropriate move to nominate a 10 to 12-year-old girl for a Razzie Award for her performance, which they did, and fuck them for doing that.
Yeah, because, like, it's a fucking kid.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't lived long enough. I mean, I know there are prodigy actor kids.
Yes. Like Macaulay Culkin. Shut up. I love Macaulay Culkin.
I was thinking of, like, you know, the girl out of Hereditary or, like.
Oh, God. but Macaulay Culkin, right?
Yeah, there was another kid recently that was, like, crazy good actor. I can't remember what film it was.
Like Dakota Fanning. She was a child actress prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
Like. But yeah, so, I mean, this film, it's like a family, they're on the run because she's got powers, they're being hunted down.
Right, Firestarter?
Yeah.
Oh.
It just was not properly executed in a way.
Was it one of those, like, is it one of those remakes where you're just like, why did you remake it?
Yes.
Like Poltergeist? That was the ultimate, and Pet Sematary?
Yes.
I was like,
you know, they released a new Pet Sematary film the other day?
A new.
There's a new one with David Duchovny. I watched it and it was awful.
What happened? Wait, David Duchovny, I didn't think he was still acting.
Well,
I thought he just popped up in films as a cameo.
Yeah.
Like in Zoolander, which was now like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
No, way longer than that. Zoolander, that was in the 90s, wasn't it? No, was it? No.
I'm feeling old. 2001, I reckon, Zoolander was.
Let me look it up.
You going to look it up? All right. Yeah, so look, it also makes me feel old that Zac Efron is of an age where he's playing dad characters now, not just the handsome heartthrob kind of
2001.
Teen. Yeah, there you go.
Got it.
Fuck.
And 15 years later, Zoolander number 2 came out, which I watched. I watched Zoolander 1 heaps. It became like my friends group at the time's our film, you know, like we just always watched because it was funny. It had, like, David Bowie. And it had scenes that I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And, like, you had Owen Wilson. You had Ben Stiller actually being funny. Like, that Blue Steel thing. But I think you mentioned it earlier.
No, Claire did. Claire mentioned my wife, it earlier. Yeah. But it is.
And Will Ferrell as Mugatu.
I have some unpopular opinions. I don't like Zoolander. I don't like Will Ferrell. And that's all I have to say about that.
Fair enough. But Alexander Skarsgård,
I know,
was one of his, like, his mates. Like,
yeah, one of the
Mikus,
guys.
His name was. But they died in an innocent, like, gasoline fight. In a freak accident in a gasoline fight. Owen Wilson is always funny. Like, he even recently in the Loki TV show.
Yeah.
Fucking love.
Yeah, he's doing.
He's so lovable. And, like, the character. I mean, he plays the same character in everything. Yes, he's just, like. But I like that about him.
Mm.
Him and fucking, and whenever he's in a Wes Anderson film, Wes Anderson always takes how he is and uses that as, like, his problem.
Yeah.
Like, in Darjeeling Limited, when he's just, like, how he acts is, like, you know, he does that thing where in Darjeeling Limited, he just orders for everyone what they want to eat. And he's done that his whole, and, like, little things like that. And it wouldn't have worked if it wasn't in his voice. He goes, how he just. Wow. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Like those Owen Wilson videos of every time he said wow in a film. It's wow. So many times. Wow.
It's so many times.
Wow. But yeah. It's weird. Mm. I think Zoolander is just one of my things. I don't think it's a good film. But there's people out there that probably watched Austin Powers a million times.
Yeah. And I personally don't like Austin Powers. I don't like Scary Movie. That's not my
scary
kind
movie?
Of comedy.
Your comedy's Evil Dead 2?
Yeah. Yes.
And 3.
So my final dishonorable mention is a film that came out last year called They/Them, and I'm pretty certain
it's whack.
I bagged on it last year as well. So the concept of this is don't like gay people. This, for me, so basically a group of campers are sent to a LGBTQ+ conversion camp
which we all know are real.
And they still
And we
exist.
All know that they don't work. And we all know that they're, in my opinion, like, so this is where I don't understand, like, you got your religion, fucking religion again. Fuck. you grab a group of people you consider gay and you put them all together and isolate them and you think that's going to solve it.
Mm.
There is nothing to be solved anyway. But the other thing is like, and then the other plan is like to just abuse them until they're not gay.
Yeah, which is not going to work. It's just going to, they're just going to stop saying they're gay and live their life in secret.
And then come back and kill you.
And it's dumb. So this film is a slasher.
Anyway, that's not what the film's about. I'm just saying how I don't like conversion camps because, like, why would I? Because, number one, they're called camps, and the other camp thing that's bad is a fucking concentration camp.
Jesus camp.
Jesus camp. Like, they're all bad things. Mm. Are camps good? I've never been on a camp.
I think I went to camp when I was school in, like, camp. School camp.
School camp's differently.
I hated that too.
Yeah. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Continue.
Well, I mean, it's, yeah. So they basically, they endure these psychological techniques. It's like, and then of course there is a killer on at the camp and one by one they start getting picked off. I've never, like, I am not, as I've said, like, you know, you do you. I don't care. Like, if you're, as long as you're happy.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about anyone. Yeah.
You do you. This film shoved, like, LGBTQ plus popular, like, down my throat. As to the point that I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous.
As in, like, were the characters unlikable and unbelievable?
They were all unlikable.
Or were they all one facet of the gay?
It was all very stereotyped.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I mean. That, well, not, yeah, yeah, like was super stereotyping, as in, like, because all my gay friends, there is nothing gay about them.
Yes.
Like you.
Yeah.
Or... actually, my other gay friend is a hairdresser, but like,
but he, but yeah, there's, yeah, but nothing, like, gay about him. Like, if,
oh, yeah, it's my hairdresser as well, isn't, yeah, it? The same hairdresser.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. And my other gay friends is just like, there's nothing. Yeah,
but
there's
for
no
me,
such, there's no such thing as a gaydar. It's only if you're playing it up.
Oh no, no, you can tell.
Actually, so no, there are some
people that are gay in the face. You, there's gay face. It's a thing. Trust me.
Actually, but, yeah, I had a girlfriend at the time, and she grew up with a friend, and he basically was always going to be gay.
Yeah.
They said from, like, you know, when he was a little kid, his parents, they're just like, he was, for no reason, he had been never, exposed to any gay culture or anything. He had that full, I think they call it mincing, is that the word?
Mm-hmm. Where,
the mincing style of, yep, like, as a child,
yeah,
and ended up getting into dance and, like, is like a fucking one of Australia's best dancers or whatever.
Good for him.
Goes around
good
the world. And, but, like, yeah, he was always going to be,
yeah,
a gay man. And so there's that. But he's, like, the one person I've ever met. You know what I mean? Like, and then I don't know. Why am I even fucking commenting on this? I just realized it's not. This is the problem with the world. It's a whole bunch of people that have nothing to do with shit have opinions on it.
It's true.
You should only have opinions. You don't even have any. But, this is why the fucking no vote. Don't get me started about that.
We will not. We are not getting started on that at all.
That's the ultimate. People who have nothing to do with shit.
Yeah.
Have opinions.
That's right. So, yeah, and this film, I felt that it pandered too much. It really forced it down. I mean, I called it straight up. Like, within the first 10 minutes of being at the camp, I'm like, this is what's going to happen. This is a thing, and that's the end. Sure as shit, I was right. I feel that this was, even though we do have non-binary, we've got trans actors and actresses in this film, which is fantastic. Everybody still needs a voice, but fucking just find a better voice, because this film is hot garbage.
Yeah, the problem is just have, yeah, trans and gay actors in films and just don't even fucking, like,
like, there's literally a scene.
Is there any reason to, like, bring it up?
I mean look, if you're trying to
give a voice. I'll stumble on this. I'm not in I'm not in this culture, and therefore I'm ignorant to it.
I'm not in the culture. That's the thing.
Yeah, but, like, I shouldn't have an opinion on it because it's nothing to do with me.
Like,
that's my
opinion.
I am
gay, but I'm not really, like, a huge part of the community. I want everyone to be happy. I want everyone to be safe.
Didn't you get in trouble for not being part of the community?
Yes. I just want to live my life in private and whatnot.
And hang out with me and talk about horror films.
That's right. But if they wanted to do a film that shows the shit that happens at camps, you could do this. You could get A24 to do this. You could do this in a better way than what they'd have done with this film. Like, there is a sequence where they're all together in their bunk singing along and dancing along.
They're singing?
Yeah, to Pink. And I'm like, this is just offending me as a human. Like this is not how we all are. And I feel that representation just wasn't there. It was over the top. It was.
But
really,
you never went
really
into that
pandering.
Film thinking it was going to represent you anyway.
No, that's true. So that was my – and I apologize if anything that I've said has upset or offended anyone. By all means, get in contact. Let's have a conversation about it, because we want to do the right thing by everyone. We, of course, want everyone to feel included and safe and happy, but this film was crap.
Oh, yeah. Well then.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to end on that.
and that's where we're going to end on that.
Yeah. So don't watch that film. I'm sure they got other stinkers, but I had it up before. I wanted to. And I've now.
Ma was another film that I don't consider to be a stinker, but it was not one of their best. So that one is about a woman who, she's a nurse and she meets a group of kids and she's
Didn't
like,
they
oh,
do
you
that
know,
robot
you can...
girl movie? Did they? Megan?
Yes. Yep.
People loved that, didn't
People
they?
Did love that. Megan is real big for this
we
year.
We should have put that on our honorable mentions.
Have you watched it?
Nah.
It's not great. I mean, it's okay. It's fine for what it is.
I think because they've got that Super Bowl advertising behind it. That's not very Blumhouse.
No.
Because that spot is so expensive, hey?
They're trying some new and different things.
But then they did it for a film that might not be, you know, the best. Like, do it for a film where you're like, this is our fucking opus. Like, do it to a Jordan Peele film. Do it to, don't just do it to a film because you're like, oh, it's not heaps good, but we need to make our money back on it. But then again, that is a good business decision.
Yeah. This year they've also released...
Unfriended, I watched that one.
Did I watch that?
I'm pretty sure that's the one where it's all set in, like, the four cams.
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
Yeah, I did watch it, but I can't remember it. So I suppose that doesn't really...
I've heard that The Exorcist, the new Exorcist film is hot garbage, so I will not be seeing
Oh,
that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know. I was meant Believer. To go see it, but I was sick, and I have heard bad things.
What about Five Nights at Freddy's? They did that.
Well, that's releasing this month in, like, next week, actually.
I have never played a Five Nights at Freddy's game. I think I told you, like, just recently someone pulled one up. Like some footage of it and goes, this is what they look like now. Because I only remember the first one. I got it on my first iPad and I didn't get it. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I was just continuing like, what do you do?
Yeah.
You look at things. I don't understand this. And I just didn't bother looking it up. And I just felt it wasn't a game. It wasn't a gamer's game.
Yeah.
But maybe that was just me. Maybe I was just being the idiot. But now that I showed it to me, it's like full third person over the shoulder, like the Last of Us style game, where hiding in like the place and you have to do, and the things are always walking around and like none of that, just no move. It's just like a full game now. And I'm like, oh.
I'm looking forward to seeing the film when it comes out.
But you've got Willy Wonderland.
Well, you've got the Banana Splits film. You've got Willy's Wonderland. You've got like.
Which sucks for this thing because those are homaging that.
Yeah.
And now they finally get their film after someone's already done it, which is them.
Yeah. But I have high hopes for this one, and I have a feeling it's going to do well. I think it'll do well at the box office. I don't think
An adult film? Because the majority of Five Nights at Freddy's, we still get the comics in, and the comics are for kids.
Yes.
Like,
I think this is going to be a good gateway horror for kids, but I also feel that they're probably going to see if they can push it a little bit further than what they would normally do for a kids horror.
It's only a $25 million budget. That's mid. I'm just looking at it now. I'm just trying to find a rating.
I think it's going to be M. I think it's PG-13, which is M here.
Which is so weird because
that's what Megan was. Megan was PG-13. It got an M rating here. We did get a director's, like an uncut version.
It's like making a PG-13 Bluey movie. Like, it's for kids.
Yes.
The original kind. It's for young kids.
I don't think that the games are PG either. I think
they were all for kids.
Yeah.
There's nothing in it that's bad. Like, nothing. It's just jump scares. Like.
Yeah, right.
Well, the originals were, and kids are the only ones that were fully into it as well. Like,
I mean, I think it's going to be great because we've got a lot of good puppetry in it.
Well, the game's not supposed to be for kids. Who knows?
I don't know. I've never played it. I couldn't tell you.
Marketing. Let's have a look here. Can't tell. Too much writing. Okay, so that is. I'm trying to find my. Now I've bloody
is,
got.
Is that what you're happy to end on? That you're happy to end on some Five Nights.
Yeah,
some
Five Nights. I just didn't want to end on the bummer of that other thing.
The bummer of me complaining about stuff.
So before we sign off, I want to thank all the listeners that interacted with us in one way or another over the past week, actually. People like the Nethernooths, Palace Nova Cinema and the Bonfire Club and stuff like that, Underground Records. These are all the shops and stuff that we love that are all done by, like, people that we know or love or Adelaide.
Yep.
Vicious Video, Galactic Video, Greenlight Comics, that's my shop. Shoo!
Go shop there.
Go shop there. I dare you. Come buy a Chainsaw Man.
I double dare you.
Chris Franks, William, Ian Westwood, Robert Thomas, Tsunami Hija, Adam Gillespie, Patrick Roberts, Am Arms, all those people, other people as well. I try and randomize it up each week to the people. We'll try and find the new people.
It's always
hard.
Yeah.
There are new people in it coming in and out. We're happy. We actually have to do a second run of our latest t-shirts.
Yeah.
We
almost sold out. I think we've
on the first day.
Yeah, pretty much. Like we only had maybe.
Like we still have some left of like.
Of everything else. I think. Yeah, but this one I had to do another run.
That's awesome.
Because all your people are awesome people out there buying it for Bonfire at Bonfire and
the Bonfire Toy Club. Fairs. So, if you don't go to the Bonfire Club and if you haven't been before and you listen to the podcast, go down there. You can speak to Jen. A lot of the time I'm not there because I just can't do it because of my family timing.
I have a team.
Yeah,
we have
a team. We have
got
a little.
Bryn, I've got Will.
We've got the Shin Tokyo team.
Yep.
Helping out. And yeah, you can pick up merch from us there. You can pick up merch from us at the comic and toy fairs whenever they're rolling
We've
around.
We've also got a Big Cartel. You can go online and buy a shirt. I'll ship it out to you.
Big Cartel.
Like, I'll even write you a handwritten note.
I draw pictures at my shop.
I'm not good at that, but maybe I'll do it. Like, I'll draw you a picture.
If you buy something on the online store, we have to do a slip that's like what's in it. In the package, not the receipt, and I draw like a thank you thing every time. And I just had someone like they got deceased, that where they all turned to zombies, and I drew like a zombie Batman,
nice,
and like that, and I say their name like the character, and he like Facebooked us and goes, dude, I ordered that yesterday, it came today, and you draw a picture in it, I put it on my desk, thanks so much. You like the first time he shot with us.
It's the little things.
Like Blink 182, they knew it. They knew what they were talking about.
All the small things.
The small things. And little. You've been listening to Terror Vision Horror Podcast. This is the end. Hardly anyone listens to this bit because you just.
Unless you're in the car and you can't skip it.
Ha ha, you're starting in the car and you can't skip. We'll see you next time. Bye.